Hello, Ryan. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Great. By app, Ryan, is it the Catholic Answers Live app? How did you find us? Just curious.
A group of friends I have here in my hometown turned me into it. Me into it.
Great. Well, welcome aboard. Yeah. How can Trent help you? Why are you an atheist?
Well, I'm actually Jeff, last caller. By the way, Jeff Semper Fidelis. He pretty much touched base on why I believe what I believe, or why I have a lack of belief, really. Mm-hmm. And I'd say my view is more of an agnostic atheism, where my atheism is basically a direct reflection of my rejection of theology. And my agnosticism is the fact that I don't know what alternative there is to that answer.
Hmm.
Well,
and you guys did touch base on with Jeff on the fact that I think without the burden of proof came up a lot.
Sure.
Which we can choose to skip past that and go to something else or touch base on that again. But something that didn't come up that I have an issue with kind of is probability of a claim.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So whereas, and we can use like your plane analogy that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, where how do we know when we get on a plane that it will land safely at our next destination? Well, in that scenario, we have planes that take off and land every day that we can take into account, pilots being licensed a certain way, and yeah, there may be the occasional fraud, as you mentioned, where a pilot may not really even be a pilot. But the probability of that is very unlikely.
No, and Ryan, I would actually agree.
Yeah.
I would agree with you on that. That's why when I fly, I'm not really nervous, because in my head, I do these probability calculations. And you can use probabilistic reasoning to show what's the prior probability the plane would crash, and what given the evidence in front of me that it will crash. Sure, absolutely. But how do you think probability enters into the existence of God?
Okay, great question. So I'll address that. And really, I'll touch base on that three positions, the default position being I don't know, the position being I claim to know, and the position being the opposite, that's false, and we know it's a false. So the existence of God, I'll take an analogy like we used to use as kids when you walk up in a fair and there's a jar of coins, let's say.
Right.
And you walk up to the jar of coins, and the question is, how many coins are in the jar?
Right.
So the default position is, I don't know. You look at the jar, you kind of take into consideration how big the jar is, what type of coins are in the jar. Are they quarters, pennies, nickels, nicks, right?
Well, Ryan, I think I see where you're going with this, though. Even though you don't know how many particular coins are in the jar, you do know other things. You know there's more than one coin, and you know there's less than a billion coins.
Sure, sure.
So there's some things you do know about this particular entity, the jar of coins. There are some things you don't know. You don't know the exact number. Okay, sure. But once again, how does this kind of go back to God?
So somebody comes up and says, well, there's an even number of coins in the jar. Just a basic answer, even number.
Right.
I would ask them, well, what's your evidence for that?
Mm-hmm.
And if they said, well, I've taken out the coins and I've counted them, and so-and-so's taken out the coins and they've counted them, and they come up even both times. And then someone comes up and says, well, there's 100 coins in the jar. Well, the probability that I'm going to believe the person who says there's even number is a lot higher than the probability of the person who gives an exact number.
Yeah, Ryan, this is Patrick.
Kind of into like deism and theism.
Ryan, this is Patrick. I'm the host, but I'm also a listener to the show. Are you likening God's very existence to the number of coins in a jar?
Absolutely not, because there are those that feel like God is transcendent to reality.
I would say, yeah. Ryan, that is essential to God's definition. That he is the transcendent creator. And when it comes to the probability that God exists, now I'm familiar with probabilistic arguments for and against the existence of God. I don't share them because that's not how God functions. That's not part of the definition of God as the necessary existing being itself or as being. So for me, the probability that God exists is either zero or one. It's either impossible he exists or he can't not exist. And I think the evidence shows that he does exist, so it's impossible he couldn't. I mean, what do you think that God's existence is a matter of probability, that you put a certain number to it?
Well, I think how we determine what's reality from not, or
sure.
what exists, how we distinguish from what's real or what's something from nothing.
Okay.
And we do have to take probability into that and into effect when we decide something that exists to something that doesn't exist.
Well, why can't I say then, Ryan, that for me, the evidence we see is of a universe that doesn't have to exist, that began to exist from nothing, and is finely tuned and has certain features in it naturalism can't explain, like objective moral laws. When these effects are followed back to their cause, to me, it just logically follows there has to be this necessarily existing being that can personally choose to create a finite universe. And if this being is necessary, if it has to exist to explain why our contingent universe, or our universe that could fail to exist, is here, then just the probability this being exists is one, even though we can't just see that right off the top of our heads. So, I mean, we're running a little bit low on our time, Ryan, but the probability God exists. Where does it lie on the spectrum? Zero, high, low, medium? Where do you put it?
Well, I would say, taking it back to a cause, there's a logical fallacy to it.
What's that?
Back to a cause.
Okay.
So that you have the cause, and you have basically what causes that cause, what that cause is, right?
Well, that.
So who are you getting to? Who created God then, Ryan?
No. So basically, we have a cause, and we don't know how the universe started. Someone claims that they do know, based on the fact that it isn't this, it wasn't this that started it, it wasn't this that started it, so it must be God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an argument from ignorance, not to be demeaning in any way. That's just the name of the logic.
Do you hold that?
No, I would say that it's not an argument from ignorance. It's a process of elimination. We know it's not X or Y, so it has to be Z. So, for example, if we look, you can use arguments for ignorance aren't good if they're not exclusive. So, for example, mm-hmm. we know this cause itself would have to be either eternal or not eternal, beyond space, beyond time, and then immaterial beyond space. It either is that or it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, if it is not, then what Ryan brought up, the whole, well, what caused that, we get an infinite regress problem. So to avoid this infinite regress that cannot explain the universe as it is, we have to say, well, the cause must logically then be eternal and immaterial, mm-hmm. or it must be personal. And I go through this in my book explaining why. And then we logically deduce it. So it's not just from ignorance. It's not saying, well, I don't know, therefore God. It's, I know these effects. It can't be of these mutually exclusive three kinds of causes, not the latter two, chance or nothing.
Right.
So it has to be what we define as God, and we move logically from that.
Because even an infinite regress itself doesn't explain how the infinite regress popped into being.
No, yeah, you start building things on infinite regresses, you start getting an infinite number of problems you have to deal with.
Ryan in Missouri, I appreciate your call very much, and congratulations on your new book. We'll send it out for free.